Hello and welcome back to a brand new series of In The Box. I told you that the next time I'd see you, we would be champions of Europe. And what an amazing summer it has been, courtesy of the England Lionesses winning our first major trophy in such a long time. I've lost my co-host, Tom, for this opening episode. I think he's somewhere in Wembley still celebrating. And I hope that you had a fantastic summer enjoying football as well. We have got a brand new series of In The Box starting. It's going to contain 8 brand new episodes where we travel across the country to bring you fresh episodes full of amazing content to help your club, your league and your volunteers become the absolute best that they can be. You are the beating heart of football and we are here to help you, not just on In The Box, but don't forget you can head to our clubs and leagues hub on YouTube for episodes of In The Box and episodes of Extra Time when we dig a little deeper into the topics and subjects that you would like to know about. For today, we have come to Norfolk to visit Cossey Sports Club. They do some incredible work around building a fantastic environment, a positive environment for their football players to express themselves, to improve, but to ultimately enjoy the game with a smile on their face. So without further ado, let's check out this absolutely incredible football club. It is so good to be back on the road again here at Cossey Sports Club. Footballs are being pumped, shin pads and boots are coming on, and we are here to learn about what it takes to create a positive environment to keep players playing football with smiles on their faces. Let me see who I can grab a chat with. Oh, look, over there, we've got the club chairman, Dan. Dan, thank you so much for inviting us to come and record this episode of In The Box. First things first, tell us about this wonderful football club.
Well, we are 75 years old next year. We have currently 28 teams. We normally fluctuate around that sort of period. So we have from under fives up to veterans teams. So we have adult male and female teams and loads of kids, youth teams, boys and girls.
And this football development centre is absolutely incredible. Tell us about how that came to fruition and how that's helped aid your development in recent years.
Well, yes. Yeah, so this is run by Norfolk FA and it's their facility, but they've had the small sort of pitches around for a good few years and we've used those as training. So without those, we can train at night, obviously, without lighting and things like that, which would be prohibitive for a small sort of grassroots club like ourselves. So then last year they opened the arena pitch, which is a full 11-a-side 3G pitch, which is incredible. And we now play matches here as well as train. So it's a big help, provides us with more facilities, which means we can offer more football to more people of our community.
Yeah, it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? The facilities and football participation. I described you as club chairman, but I know that you coach. I know that you do so many things. Tell us about sort of average week being chair here.
Well, yes.
If there ever is an average week.
Yeah. I just think it's a full-on sort of commitment. So at the moment, I'm coaching the under-fives on a Saturday morning. I run an under-12s team. I help do the admin with an under-16s team. And then we are also sort of running and trying to promote our behavioural things, which are like key to our sort of philosophy as a club. We have a goal of the month competition that we run with our VO equipment that we've sourced. So yeah, there's a lot that's always going on, really.
Dan, tell me a little bit about, you mentioned there the behaviours, because obviously we're here to shine a spotlight on how you've built a good environment. You mentioned that it's linked with your identity and your values. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, so I think obviously like all grassroots football clubs, we've had issues over the years with different behavioural things, mainly stemming from adult behaviour. As a football club, we spend a lot of time as volunteers doing all these things just to make the football run. And it just felt really unfair to me when I first got involved that, hold on, we're getting pulled into things about behaviour as well. And if we want the kids to really enjoy themselves and really have a great time and learn how to play the game, then we need to create the right behaviours in and around them by trying to promote what they are and educate people. I think everyone, as soon as you step away from the football pitch, everyone knows how they should behave. It's just sometimes when that whistle blows. So it's really about just trying to show what the right things are and show how they impact the kids of our community and of our football club.
Amazing. It's an incredible club, an incredible facility. Let's go and find out more. I think it's time that we have a team talk. There's only one place to head for a team talk, and that is out on the pitches where training is taking place here at Cossey Sports Club. I'm delighted to have Dan alongside me, and next to him, Kevin, who is welfare officer here. The atmosphere, Dan, is lovely. There is such a warm feeling when you come to be a part of this football club. And I know it's something that you've worked incredibly hard at, and it's a value that your football club holds dear. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, yeah, I think what we've found out, you know, largely promoted from the FA, really, is kids thrive in a positive atmosphere. If you give them a positive atmosphere, they're going to enjoy it more, and they're going to learn more, and they're going to develop more. And for us, they'll keep coming back.
Which is incredibly important. And Kevin, in your role as welfare officer, I'm sure you encounter lots of different things. We have unfortunately seen rising levels of poor behaviour, disrespect towards officials and so on. Why do you think it is such a problem?
I think it's a national trend of society today, unfortunately. But we're all here for the children to enjoy themselves. And this is what we've got to just try and promote.
It's important we do something and we try and be proactive before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, so this is what we decided. So obviously the FA do a lot of great work. There's always a campaign at the start of each season. But sometimes that can feel a bit distant to some people, I think. So what we decided was, look, if we started making video and content similar to what the FA did, but we did it with our players, giving them a voice and asking them why they played and what they felt was important, we felt that would resonate more with the parents and the coaches around, and would start to create that positive environment.
Kevin, building on that, tell us a little bit more about the videos, their messages, and the impact that you found it has had at this football club.
Well, it's re-emphasising what we believe as a philosophy within the club. We obviously promote it. We try and make sure everybody is fully aware of what the club ethos is.
And if you had to describe that, say, in a sentence or a few words, what would they be?
Well, yeah, I think there's the two titles of the two videos. So we only do positive, which is from a coaching and an adult environment, and play your role, which was let the players play, coaches coach, and supporters support. That's what we want from the people around our club.
They're seemingly simple messages, Kevin, but putting them into practice is another thing. You've set an example here in Norfolk. Have you got any other clubs or leagues get involved with that campaign or ask you for advice on how to embed it at theirs?
Well, I attend regular Norfolk child welfare officer meetings. So those meetings, bringing all the other welfare officers together, we actually integrate some of the information between clubs to try and push and promote good behaviour, best practice.
And marketing and communications is a subject that I really love, Dan. And you mentioned the use of social media, creating videos and so on. It can be a little bit daunting for clubs, especially when they're relying on volunteers, but you've simply and effectively communicated using it. So tell us about the secrets.
Yeah, well, I think again, you know, the thing that will bring, certainly from a youth element, is using the kids. So have content where the kids are involved and talking and offer their opinions. Parents want to see their kids and want to hear them being interviewed and hear what they say, and then they're much more likely to listen and react to the voices of their own children, I think.
And then, Dan, you produce these videos, which people can check out, but I want to hear from you how they came about.
Yeah, so the first one was just like a really simple idea where I just thought, you know, a lot of what goes on around the pitch is based on a desire to win, really. And actually, I thought, from all the kids I've known and worked with as a coach, that's not really their motivations for playing. So the first one, which was we only do positive, was just to ask kids some really simple basic questions. Why do you play football? What do you like about it? Have you heard adults shout and argue? And a lot of them have. And have you heard them cheer? And which one do you prefer? And surprise, surprise, they like being cheered most. So it was our kids speaking to the adults around their pitch saying, this is the environment we want to play in. So it made it clear. The second video we made, which is called Play Your Role, was more about sideline coaching, which most coaches know. You've sent on a player and you've given them a direct instruction and had it contradicted from the sidelines. So what we did was set up a little experiment where we got one of our parents to play FIFA, never played that game before, and we got the kids to stand around and shout multiple instructions. Surprisingly, the parent found it really difficult when they got multiple instructions. So again, it was just showing that thing of actually, how does this affect the children?
Yeah, such an innovative approach. And there's two things I want to pick out and ask you a little bit more on, if you don't mind, Dan. Firstly, putting the player at the centre of what you do has obviously had a really positive impact. And marketing and communications as well. It's sometimes a bit of a forgotten art for volunteers. You have a million and one other things to do, lots of administration and so on. But when you wanted to make a powerful impact, when you wanted to create behavioural change, those marketing and communication tools came into their own.
Yeah, absolutely. So like Kev said, I think we got help from FA when we needed to. And I just think it was about really, as he said, again, like having a clear understanding of the message we wanted to promote and just keep promoting that message. There's a temptation, I think, at the start of the season when the new sort of FA behaviour guidance comes out, clubs like ourselves would send that round and then think, right, we're done now. We could just crack on with football. I think it's constant reminders of, you know, these are our campaigns. So we use those things. We only do positive, play your role, or this current one, respect your roots, as hashtags for every post then that we put throughout season.
Kevin, that consistency is really important, isn't it? Because the campaign and the messaging has had an impact, but you want it to become the culture and the identity of the football club, not just for this season, but for seasons to come.
Yeah, it's setting an example for the future. We've got 28 teams, which obviously is a lot of teams for a small village team or a club. But obviously we need to try and promote the future, whether that means, you know, more age groups per, or more teams per age group, and more girls teams. That's a bit of an ethos at the moment.
And Dan, when we spoke earlier on, you told us about the growth that you've seen in teams. We can see the young players around us enjoying training. Ultimately, at the end of the day, if you get that respect, if you get that good, positive football environment, your club and your league is going to thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the engagement, more people want to be involved with you as a club, more players will want to come and play for you. Kids, if you think of every other environment where kids will be, it's generally really positive. If you go into a school environment at the moment, which is another learning environment, they're not going to be screamed at all day. They're going to be engaged with and ask their opinion. And I think it's just, again, putting the kids at the centre of what you're doing.
Dan, this ethos of creating a positive football environment, where did it come from?
Well, yeah, I think, like, from a personal point of view, when I ran my team, which is one of the teams up here tonight, went to a game at under eight, you know, where you're still playing foundation phase, it's not, the scores aren't recorded, and saw just an opposition manager walk onto a pitch to change a referee's decision. And you're left then as the position, as an adult, do I now start an argument with this person? Or do I suck it up and actually show kids what a positive adult environment should look like? And that's when we sort of started to think about how can we make that change? How can we start promoting what we feel is good adult behaviour at our youth games?
So Kevin, from that point then, when you made the decision as a football club, this is an issue that you wanted and needed to tackle. How did you come together as a group, as a committee, volunteers involved in the football club to iron out the messaging and how you wanted a bit of a campaign to evolve?
Well, it was an involvement of the whole committee, yeah, to promote to them the way forward. Obviously, lots of ideas were going on around the table before we probably got to a committee meeting, a full committee meeting. But obviously, with the guidance from the Norfolk FA, obviously that was where we were taking probably most of the ideas from, and then challenging children and the teams from there.
So you came together as a committee, you took advice from your local county FA, you accessed resources. This is having a major impact on the players and so on. But in the wider sense of what you're doing for the local community as well, I'm sure it's had far-reaching effect.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. As we mentioned, and as you saw here, we don't have any facilities, so we're a hirer. So there is a perception that footballers are hooligans and that stuff. So I think we've pleasantly surprised, you know, Norfolk FA and our local town council, that we're more bothered about behaviour and setting good examples about two children than we are just playing football. We love football, that's the reason we exist, but we feel like we've got a role to provide the children that are in our care.
And Kevin, we have a lot of volunteers tune into In The Box, and particularly a lot of welfare officers as well. It's a really challenging role, especially when you give up your time to do so. What bit of advice would you give to those listening in about how a proactive response can actually help in the long term?
It's all about listening to the issues. You mustn't just get sidetracked by one side. You have to listen to all sides and then potentially take it from there. More often than not, you then need the advice of the local county FA to give you some support to move that status forward.
Yeah, wonderful advice there. And Dan, finally, my question to you. Creating a positive football environment, I think, links very much to sustainability for football clubs and leagues, which is very topical at the moment. Would you agree? And finally, what would your words of advice be to someone perhaps listening in who's in a similar role as chair at their football club and perhaps fed up with some of the behavioural issues they see on a far too frequent basis?
Yeah, I think the thing is, which we've all been, that when you get into these roles, there's a bit of fear, you know, like to dictate. You feel like you shouldn't be telling people how to do it. But I think you've really got to put what you value at front and centre of what you do. And when you do that as a league, as a club, as a team even, that sets the standards of how everything then comes out of that, and how you perform on the field and off the field are all linked to how you behave, I think.
Absolutely. And you guys are setting a stellar example here. Thank you so much for giving up your time, for allowing us to come and visit and keep doing the fantastic work that you're doing.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Right, whilst we're here under the lights, let's see who else we can talk to. We've spoken to the chairman and the welfare officer. Now it's time to get a parent's perspective, or Alan, in your case, a grandparent's perspective here. Charlotte, welcome to In The Box as well. First things first, tell us about what Cosy Football Club means to you and to your granddaughter who trains here.
Oh, it means a great deal because, you know, it's nice to have something that they're associated with, especially from a health perspective. Both my grandsons played football for Cosy, and also my granddaughter, so that's excellent to think that they're all part of a big team.
And Charlotte, I suppose on that case, if three of your children are playing here, you spend a lot of time at this football facility. How much does it kind of enrich your lives and that of the community around you?
They're football crazy. So we spend three nights a week up here training, and then all of their football games, so to and fro in. But everything is football mad. Their confidence has grown massively since being part of the club. They've made some great friendship groups as well. They've got great role models in their coaches. They spend time doing fundraising and stuff as well for their teams, which I think is brilliant as well. So they know the cost of it themselves, and then they appreciate it a little bit more as well.
Alan, there's such a wonderful buzz behind us, such a camaraderie between all the different teams and the players. The facility is incredible as well. How much of a difference does it make having access
massive,
to this?
Absolute massive. Because I think that, you know, that encourages the kids as well. I mean, when we were young, we used to play on a bit of an old grass pitch. This is lovely. The facility is absolutely perfect for them. They enjoy coming here. They've got great lighting. They've got great coaches as well. They couldn't ask for any more than that, really. Absolutely brilliant.
Earlier, Charlotte, we were talking to the chairman, Dan, about a lot of work that the football club has done to tackle some of the poorer behaviour, not necessarily at this football club, but that's going on within the grassroots game. As a parent, was that ever a concern for you for what your child might be exposed to, and counteracting that, what Cosy does to balance that out and make sure it is a positive environment?
So my oldest is 15. So I've seen a lot of that over the years, and a lot of off-pitch behaviour as well as on-pitch behaviour. But what Cosy has done is they've instilled it in the children of how to behave. They send do's and don't cards out, not just for the children, but for the parents as well. Every parent has to sign an agreement to state that they'll behave appropriately on pitch side, and the children the same. And they do a lot of work with the children on their behaviour as well. And you see it sort of filter through with the parents as well. So if a child's misbehaved during the week, they're not allowed to train, or they're not allowed to play a game, etc.
It's really important, isn't it, Alan? Because you want football and training and the disciplines to help benefit a young person. But often the case is that the poor behaviour comes from the sidelines. So when you go out to watch games, how important do you think it is that adults take a responsibility to behave?
Exceptionally so. I mean, having coached a younger team myself back in the day, you know, the parents were always the worst, really. And they were the ones that you had to sort of get on side to make sure that actually, you know, they're role models for their children, you know, and you know, they got to behave. Because what the kids see off the pitch, you know, is they think they can do it on the pitch. So it's very important that the parents show a lot of respect, not only to the referees and the coaches around, but also to let their children know about the values of life.
Yeah, the values of life, it's so important. And Charlotte, I just wondered, How does it make you feel that the football club itself has been proactive, giving you the do's and don't cards as well? It must make you kind of feel that your children are in really safe hands and are kind of going to flourish with their football.
It sort of instills great confidence in the parents, I think, and watching how the coaches behave, how they're asking the children to behave, as well as the parents as well. I feel safe knowing that they're here, knowing that they're training, and I'm quite happy to sort of drop them off at training and go and have a coffee and not worry too much about the behaviour they're seeing or what they're doing. And the children come away with such a positive vibe every week. It makes a massive difference, yeah.
A safe, positive environment. That's what it's all about, and that's certainly what is going on here. Thank you both so much for your time and for talking to us.
Thank you.
What does a positive football environment look like to you?
A positive is if the kids are enjoying it. Really is about the kids. If the kids enjoy it and they walk off happy, doesn't matter about the result, then it's a positive environment.
I think giving children an opportunity to play football, making it fun, you know, not all about winning and results. The more positive we are, the more confidence it gives those children, and the more confident they are, the better they will play.
Why do you love playing football?
I like playing football is because I love football.
I like football because you can run, tackle and shoot, and it's really fun.
And I like football because I get to score top bins.
I love making new friends at football, and I love watching my friends score goals.
When you hear people shouting, or if you ever hear people shouting, what does it make you feel like?
If they're shouting all good things, it makes me feel really happy. But if they're shouting bad things, I'm like, I'm not going to listen to them. I don't really care what they're saying.
It can put me off because it's not very nice. It makes me a bit upset if people are shouting at me.
Yeah, it's very distracting and it's hard to pick a pass and see your options.
Really sad, and you can't even concentrate when the coach is saying.
How would you like people to be when they're coming to watch you play football?
Nice and kind and supportive.
Try to be kind no matter what happens.
Let the coaches coach and the players play.
It's now time for the highlight reel on this episode of In The Box. A chance for me to tell you about some fantastic work taking part across the country. Let's start, shall we, with an example that we saw at the Derbyshire County FA, who received a message saying a massive shout out to Mark from Chelleston Girls, who we got to stand behind when our respective teams were playing. He was positive from the start and was a pleasure to listen to. We have never heard such positivity from a coach. Great job, Mark. Absolutely love that. And a shout out also to Barham AFC Hull, who are East Riding FA's Club of the Month for October. They've been offering free turn up and play sessions on a Saturday morning to young people in their area. And it has been such a success that they're now hoping to create a team to join their adult male player pathway at the football club. So congratulations to you as well. And finally, just a little note to let you know that Silent Support Weekend is coming up, and it's going to be taking place on the 5th and 6th of November. All youth leagues and other leagues in the country will be sent the details on how they can get involved. And that is just about all we have time for our first episode back in this new series of In The Box. Wow, what a football club they have here at Cosy Sports Club. I will certainly be reporting back to Tom about all the tips and advice that I've picked up on how we create good, positive football environments at our clubs and leagues. It really is so important and so refreshing to come somewhere where everyone has big smiles on their faces, from the chairman to the players themselves. Don't forget that the Silent Weekend of Football is coming up. So if you're involved in a youth league, please pledge your support and get involved on the 5th and 6th of November. Not only that, but you can get involved with the FA's new Respect campaign. All details on that will be unveiled very, very soon. And if you want to delve into the subject of creating a positive football environment more, make sure that you join Tom and I for our Extra Time episode coming up soon. You can sign up for free through the show notes below. That's episode 1 wrapped up. I'll see you in episode 2.